Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Spirituality, psychic development, love and relationships, manifesting prosperity, and more. You now have access to the world's most renowned spiritual teachers, healers, psychics, and mediums as you join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hello, I am Steven, and you're listening to Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. I'm a professional tarot reader and analytic astrologer, and you can find me over at PsychicAccess.com. And I'm not just here by myself. I have a whole panel of my colleagues and co-psychics, and do believe we have here with us Steve Frampton. Hello, Steve. How are you tonight? Well, how about Maureen? I know Maureen's there. Hello, Maureen. How are you?
Hello. I'm not muted. I'm fine. Thank you. I'm really looking forward to the show this evening. How are you? Can you hear me? Hello. How are you? What's going on? Well, I can hear myself. I hope everybody else can hear me. Okay. Well, I'm doing fine. I think Steve's back. There's Steve.
I can hear you, Maureen.
I'm
glad you're doing fine.
I see Steven's having a little bit of issues. Well, I guess, you know, Steve, why don't you step in and who are you, Steven? Tell us about yourself.
Well, absolutely. I am a psychic medium and hermetic astrologer, as you know, Maureen, and I give readings on Psychic Access, as you guys do, and I'm really looking forward to this show this evening.
And you're fine. You're a fine human being, too.
Oh, thank you. I try.
Well, thank yourself. It's telling about you. Well, my name is Maureen, and hello, everybody in the chat room, if I haven't said hello. And tonight, I am happy to say, I'm a tarot reader and empath and intuitive. Steven, you're back?
Yes, thank you so much. Sorry,
okay.
Everyone listening. I'm having a Skype problem tonight. We got a lot of weather over here on this end, and so, you know.
It's amazing. I'm in California, and we got a lot of 90-degree weather on this end. It's odd. Carry on.
Well, I wish I wouldn't do it tonight of all nights. Well, because I'm excited about your guest and about tonight's topic, so I wish it would cooperate with me here.
Well, if it doesn't, and I see that you're kind of hanging, because I can tell.
I'm hanging by thread.
I'll know that you're very excited anyway.
yeah, and I am too. I really can't wait to hear what your guest has to say, because this is something that is going to renew my curiosity about the tarot.
Yeah, me too. I'm very excited. And so, you know, I'm going to go ahead and introduce her. I think I told everybody what I do. I also am at PsychicAccess.com. Oh, Steven, did you talk about what you – yes, you did, Steven. Did you tell everybody what you did? I think you didn't. Yes? Okay. Well, there's the three of us tonight because
– I certainly did.
Yeah, okay. I was just wanting to make sure because, you know, you articulate.
I sure did.
You articulate so well. And I said that in a very – complimentary way, you really do. Well, okay. Well, tonight is we have Raina George, and she's a respected presence in the modern divination. Are you laughing at me?
I know.
You know what? I'm going to watch a video yours in the modern divination community, and author of the essential. Here we go, you know what? I had it, and I was talking to you guys and how we pronounce this, but. Is the Lino? I can't believe it. I've now gone Lino Mod. Okay, now everybody else pronounce it differently, and as soon as Raina comes on, we're going to ask her. And it's a great book. It's called The Essential Lino Mod, and it's your guide to precise and practical fortune telling. She's a clairaudience and clairvoyant for close to over 30 years, and she has brought light and understanding to her clients so they can regain control of their lives and make confident decisions based on relevant information and so exploring all options. I'm really pleased to have her join us, and I believe, is she with us, Raina?
Yes, hi, how are you?
Hi, did I, you know, I'm sorry, your name, your first name, did I pronounce it wrong?
You can do anything you want. At this
I don't
point,
want
to... it doesn't matter anymore.
No, it does to me. And I was thinking about it earlier, I was stumbling over the Linamod. Is it Linamod?
Yes. Linamod.
Okay, that's right. There's so many different ways people, I've heard them say it.
Yeah, Linamod, you know, it's, you know, tomato, tomato.
Yeah, so tomato, good. Tomato, and... and, you know, chiclet and gum.
I don't care. As long as you use it, you can call it anything you want.
But is it, no, really, your name, I want to make sure, because I was saying, is it Reina?
It's Reina.
Okay, so it's, I want to make sure. So do you want me to say Reina or Reina?
Just Reina.
Oh, okay. You've got.
You can say Reina. It's fine.
No, but it's Reina, like Reina.
No, not Reina. It's Reina.
Oh, okay.
It's a short A.
Oh, I see. Okay, I got it. You know what? I would like to you to tell everybody. I was reading up where are you from, and how. Before we get into your work, but you are from somewhere very interesting. Where you your family?
Yes, I'm from Beirut, Lebanon.
There. That's why I can't pronounce your name. And so I was reading about a very interesting family background. And well, could you just give us a background about who are you, like, you know, when you started and, you know, how you got into your work?
Who am I when I started? Like, growing up, you mean? Well, I was born in Beirut, Lebanon. I grew up there. The time I grew up, it was a civil war, so there was a lot of bombing and shootings and kidnapping and you name it. One day you go to school and 5 days you don't because of the bombings. I used to see things and hear things and stuff like that, and it wasn't normal, you know. It's not, I mean, usually around people, like, they look at you different.
Yeah.
And fortunately my mom knew that her family, this is like something in her family, so she, you know, she helped me, and she was the whole time supporting me, and she didn't put me in a loony bin or drugged me or anything. So I was blessed in that way. And, I mean, this is how I grew up, and I got to read the cards since, I think around 11, 12, and then, you know, I started getting in more and more and more. And, I would read for, everybody, like their friends and family, the whole neighborhood, the neighbors, people would come to me with, you know, plates of sweets and cakes and you name it, so I can, you know, read and give them, you know, like, they like to sit down and do a reading and find out what's going on and what's going to happen, when are they getting married, you know, when my son's going to get a job, and, you know, I mean, stuff like
right.
that. I was a kid. I was just, you know, telling them what I'm seeing. That's it.
Did you utilize any tools like tarot? Did you have tarot cards? Did you read? What did you?
No, it was mostly Lenormand with whatever I see. It was like a Lenormand and combination. It was the cards, a deck of cards, with combination of feelings and pictures I get,
right.
and you know, it's like a some sort of a combination that was going on.
Right, and I understand what you're saying with that, because I'm not I'm a self-taught reader. I just connected, and I didn't like all the interpretations don't matter. I started drawing pictures of what I felt or saw or whatever. So with you, you began with the Lamar. So
yeah,
with that right away. That to me is fascinating, because, like I was talking earlier before we started the show with my co-hosts are on here with us too, and I was talking about nothing late right now. It's become very popular. It's a big hype buzz right now, It's come to the U.S. of A. anyway. I know this has been around forever, but I'm sure you've noticed that. And the book, I have not read it, but boy, I've been reading a lot about it. It sounds absolutely great, and I want to get it, by the way. But I did read that you started immediately. Like for you at that age, most of us over here haven't even heard of it. Or what is that, right?
I didn't even know what it is, actually. I didn't know the name of it. I didn't know. I mean, it didn't have a cover. It didn't have a box. I did not know anything about it. I was just using it. I saw my mom using it. And then I was just using it. I said the whole story in details in the book. So I'm not going to go in all the little details. You got to get the book. I really did not know until like I was, you know, here in the U.S. after three kids and the deck is like tattered and it's falling apart in my hand. And I'm like, is there a possibility I can get another deck? And then I start doing research and then I found, oh my God, I can actually get another deck. I thought like I cannot get another deck. So that was amazing. Wow. And then I found the name and then I found, I mean, this is all recent for me, like, you know, the last, you know, 6 years or so.
Really? Wow, that is interesting. Well, Mary, you know, I Mary Greer, I interviewed her, it's probably been about a month ago. Uh-huh. And I adore her because my, you know, I books are my mentors and a lot of anything about Mary Greer, I just adored her and really respect her.
Yeah.
She just raves about you and, which I think is quite lovely and
it's a big honor.
Sure. You know, but as far as I did a little bit of the history, you know, did a little bit of the history, and I know it was this woman, allegedly there's some things about her, but who it was, you know, she, you know, created this 36 cards?
Okay, so obviously I did a whole lot of research about trying to find out for the book about who Mademoiselle Lenormand is. So first, Mademoiselle Lenormand was a huge, like really, really huge in her time. She was a huge seer. She was in everything. She was like you would call right now a major celebrity. Everybody would go to her if you're a king or a pauper or anything. And I think she used that to her advantage. I mean, she used to would see like the people that own the land and all the castles and everything. And at the same time, she would see their servants, you know? So she was getting information from, you know, all around. I mean, she was good. She was a good psychic. She did everything possible. She used every single tool. I think her first deck was a regular card, regular playing card. And she was dying to get her the first Etea. It was like Etea was around that time, but she couldn't afford them when she was a kid. And eventually she got the Etea. And then eventually she uses the eggs. She uses a rooster. She uses the crane to do like a crane reading. She was good. I mean, I can tell, I mean, from reading and doing a lot of research. But at the same time, she used information also. From her reading, I can see that she was using information from here and there to help, you know, because she was into a lot of politics and she was in a time of a lot of turbulence during the revolution, after the revolution with the royalty, after that. So she went into prison many times. But there is a lot of writings that she did read for Josephine, the wife of Napoleon Bonaparte, and he jailed her. Like there was an incident that he actually, when he wanted to divorce Josephine, he jailed her so she wouldn't tell her. And then there's a couple of writings, not from her, that she actually read for the czars of Russia, and he would call her. So she was pretty known and famous because she wrote a lot of books. She wanted to write. Nobody would publish her books. So she ended up buying her own printing company and she started pumping her own books and writing.
Wow. Time period, that's pretty big.
Writing, you know, it's like self-promoting, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
She's like, majorly. But when she died, it was she had a huge fortune at the time. And her procession was so big that, you know, the papers wrote it was like a royalty procession or something. This is how revered she was. So, but the deck, so Le Normand deck, there's a lot of research that it was by Hetchel, by, you know, there was somebody else that did it and she used it. I mean, we don't know if she used it or not, but from doing all the research and doing everything, she was in Belgium. She was in Belgium in prison and then she stayed there for a while. And I have a feeling like from reading everything that this deck actually passed her hands and she used it and somebody just used, you know, like, hey, she used this deck, let's put her name on the deck. Oh, so we get more a boost. And basically she would use anything to do readings,
right? Like you said, she'd do anything that could be used as a tool. So what you're saying is someone just handed some of a deck. She didn't like create this particular deck, but they call it the after her.
No.
Okay, that's fascinating.
This is what we believe so far, that it's a marketing. Right.
Well, so with you, so for instance, they do have a particular deck in our time that we can go out and buy called, and what exactly is the difference between that? I know there's, you know, when I started 25 years ago, there were barely any decks out of tarot, there weren't hardly any. Now there's so many different, you know, as you know, there's everything from everything called everything decks.
Yes.
So
they're trying to do the same thing with the Le Normand now.
Are they? Okay, that's what I wanted to know. So that's too bad.
It's all good. I mean, you know, things are always evolving as it should be. I mean, nothing stays the same, right?
Well, that's true. But you, when you wrote, because you're, it's, to me, I couldn't have gotten a better guest to talk about this than you, obviously, because authentically, you know it all, and you know, because you've done all the research, but. I guess if I was I utilize tarot as my main tool. So if I wanted to ask you this, if I came to you and said, listen, I want to, see about, bringing them together, or is there a benefit for someone like me that just has been utilizing the tarot? I don't need it all the time in front of me, and I kind of go off of it. Like I said, I don't read it like a book learned person, but if you add it with that, is the benefits great?
It's a great benefit because I do use tarot right now, and I mean I use many other stuff, but I have many tarot students that are, you know, they come from the tarot world, and it really expands your whole reading ability. Not per se, like the way you see things and everything. It's just it expands your prediction. It expands the way you see, because when you learn the system, first you have to learn the system. You know, 1 + 1 = 2. You have to learn that system and how it works and how the meaning works together. And as soon as you learn that, you will see that it's very, very, very precise and very clean. And clear cut for a certain question that needs a straight answer, like a very, very straight answer, as in, am I going to sell the house? Well, you can't sell it. You have to fix something in it before. It will literally show you, like the card, for example, the snake will tell you, well, you know, there's some problem in the house that you need to fix before, and then you'll be able to sell it. And it will give you like that full sentence. This is what's cool about the Le Normand, because it's that clear. I mean, you would see it. It would just pop right there. The sentence is like, there's no doubt, and you wouldn't think twice about it. This is the tarot. I love it. I love it when we're dealing with counseling. I love it when we're dealing with getting into the subconscious and what's really behind the way he's acting and why is he treating her that way and why is he feeling that way and all that. You know, it's amazing the way it works in that domain. We can use that too, but the tarot is goes deeper. It has more of, right, you know, to it in aspect. But La Normand is more like clear, say, you know, well, she's not talking to you right now because she is talking to somebody else. You know, it would be very straightforward, and it would tell you very, very clean.
That's what I was, my understanding was, because the tarot sometimes has so many different meanings at times that the adding the Lenormand, I know I don't say it right, but that it would, it's more about the numbers or something, or is it good for the, when I was reading about it, it just sounded fantastic. And then I was thinking, if you can help me in my own head, I was thinking, okay, well, if I was doing a reading, and like, I don't do that cross thing. I don't go with the, I just kind of do put out whatever I want or not. And so is there a particular,
there's a cross or there's a way. Well, you can do the same thing in Lenormand. You can do the same thing in Lenormand. There is actually a grand tableau that you can, if you want to go and give a reading to somebody and just look at their life, the grand tableau is a whole, using the whole 36 cards. And you can just, it's like a snapshot of their life at that moment, of what's going on in their home, what's going on in at work, what's going on with their family, what's going on. It's just a quick snapshot, what's going on with their health. It just gives you a snapshot of everything, of what's going on in that person's life at that moment. Now you can go that route, and then you can go a different route by doing it the same way, like just whatever question you have, and just pull as many cards as you want, and you know, whatever you feel, you stop, just like you're doing it with the tarot, you know.
And so when you add the tarot with it, I mean, I can, this is the, like I said, I was, when I was talking before the show started to my co-host, I was I haven't been passionate about getting out and learning about, or getting more involved with something until now. And probably, and it may be because, okay, it's not because I'm on with the hype of things, it's because I've heard about them before, but now it seems like more and more. Even I, Mary Greer, we spoke a little bit about it. I had another woman on, this is a psychologist that uses, and she was talking about how she's getting real into the Lamar. And so I was wanting to, this is something I really think that I'd like to integrate into my readings. So
when you use it with the tarot?
Yes, with the tarot.
Your question? Okay, so sometimes, this is what I found so far. Sometimes it tells you, it would repeat the same thing. It's like, you really didn't get it? Are you really didn't get it? You want to try it again? So it would repeat it again. And this is like sometime when it's really highlighting it. And sometime what it does is just, it expand. It's basically takes your card, your tarot card, and then it brings down the one meaning that you're looking for. Basically it tells you, no, don't look at the aspect of, you know, the ego. Don't look at the, for example, if you get the strength card and, you know, I mean, and then you get, let's say, I'm trying to think here of cards to put in. You get the, what do you call it? The bear, with the Lenormand on the strength card, you know, this is here, it will bring it down to, no, this is, you need like to have your own power. You need to, you know, you will tell your client this is, you will know, like, this is not about ego. This is not about you coming out into your, you know what I mean? It doesn't, right. It brings it down. It highlights the meaning that you're one meaning in the tarot dictionary of that card.
I got it. That's why I think it's so, like I said, that's why I have you on as a guest, your expertise. Yeah. Us. But I'm following what you're saying, and I find it really, I know I'm real curious.
In the back of my book, actually, I have a couple of examples on how to utilize it, to utilize those both tools together, and how it came out with me in real life readings.
Right. So you use personal, yeah, and that's what I read about that with you. I identified with that because you read about on your personal experiences. A lot of times, that's how that's how I get what I get pretty much sometimes, most of the time. It's a lot about my own personal stuff. And it's not like it's always about me. But, yeah. you know, what I've gone through. And that's how I learned them. I would look at them and I would get these feelings and my emotions. I used to draw pictures. That's how I learned the tarot. I drew, and then I went to books. I drew what I felt and whatever I was feeling. So with what I read about how you approached it is a lot of it's, well, it's kind of the same because you've your personal experiences in life, right? Is that correct?
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
Yes, the book is mostly like, it's all real readings. I changed the names, of course.
Right.
Between, I ask permission from, you know, clients that this is, it's going in the book. And of course, and it's all like personal, basically how I grew up with it and how the Lenormand card worked with me.
Right.
During all these years. And I try to explain as much as I can on in every reading how I came to the advice or how I came to the I try to explain as much as I can in every aspect and in every way, and I give a lot of different scenarios and different positions and everything. So
When you read, you do that with your clients. You do explain how this is, how the whole thing's coming together. You explain.
It depends on the client. It depends. Uh-huh. If the clients are not readers and they're not interested in learning about, reading, because I have a lot of clients that they don't care about, you know, how and what. They just want to know answers. And they're paying to know answers. They don't want explanation. They don't want any of that. And I have other clients that are readers that actually that are learning. And this is where I explain more. I explain on how I got here and why.
They're getting the best of both worlds because you're almost like giving them a class as well. Yeah. That's pretty great.
But I'm good. I'm happy with it because it's such an amazing tool that I really wish that everybody can use it, and when they start using it and they see the benefit of it, it's just another tool. It's like having, you know, another, you know, device.
Exactly.
You know, have, you know, an iPad and whatever, and phones or whatever. It's just another device, really. It's a tool that it will help you see so many things, and it's an amazing tool. I mean, I'm teaching a lot of kids right now, and they're using it for school and stuff, and they're loving it. They're just loving it because it's not very vast like the tarot, which is, the tarot is amazing. I'm not,
No, I understand.
The tarot, I mean, I want my tarot deck to be with me all the time, you know, it's the same with the Lenormand deck. So, but with the kids, for example, they just want like this. They want to be fast. They want to know, am I going to ace that test? Am I going to, go out with this girl? So it's like, it's very quick. One card, two cards, you'll get the answer. You get the sun. Yes, you're going to ace the test. You get the book. No, you need to hit the books again and go study.
Right. No, I like that too, because in fact, speaking of which, when you're reading for younger people, even when my daughter was younger, I'd have her parents' permission. They have to call up and see for entertainment. Yes. I never want to get in trouble with them, right?
Well,
the parents,
of course.
But it's nice because they do want, sometimes I'm sure when you're doing your work all over the place and you don't, you're time restrained, people want a fast, you're giving them a gift of a reading, whatever. You have to be fast. And with me, that's always been difficult because I get so much. So this is what I'm really, really interested in. I know I'm going to pursue getting, do you teach classes on this?
I do teach classes. I go to a lot of conferences. I present in a lot of conferences. Uh-huh. I've done Reader Studio. I've done BATS, and I'm doing it again. I've done TarotCon. I was a main presenter for the last couple of years. I'm going again this year also. So, I teach a lot of workshops and classes.
Right, and I know you have a blog. You do have blog, right? You have a blog where you talk. You do. You just focus on.
I don't have a blog. No,
it's on Blog Radio. I saw something on your website.
I teach. We did on Terror Tribe. We did World Tribe. Oh my God, I forgot the name of it. With Donnelly, we did a whole series of classes that are free, so anybody can go and listen to them.
Oh, okay,
it's a whole series of a lot of classes. So
right, okay, great. That's what I saw. It's on your website, in which we will get that out. It's on your guest page too, as well, forever on our site. Oh, that's great. So people can, yeah, that's great. You know, one of my co-hosts had a question he wanted me to ask you because he's doesn't have very good the tech gods aren't being good to him, but his name is Steven, and he's asking. He's curious. If you can answer this, curious about the organization of the deck, how many major is arcana or how many minor or court cards? Is there anything to that that makes sense with the?
Okay. No. Hi, Stephen. No, there isn't. It's not like tarot at all. There is no major and minor arcana. It's none of that. There's 36 cards, 1 through 36. And each card has a little picture on it, and that picture means something. For example, the writer means news. It means somebody coming to you, feedback, or somebody calling you, or a guest coming. That's an example, you know, a book. It means knowledge, and it means, you know, studying. It means, it depends on the context. With Lenormand, you need the context. The context is everything. Context, right. Context is everything, and the question is more important than the answer, because the way you frame the question, you will get the answer. If you frame the question vague, you will get a vague answer. But if you frame it very precise, you will get a precise answer. And basically what you do is you put these words and you put them together and you make a sentence and you will get an answer. So it's not like major arcana, and it's not like tarot at all. So it's totally different. Totally different feel, totally different way of looking at it. It's a totally different system. It's a totally different tool. Basically, I would say Android and no, it's more. No.
Well, you know, I noticed there's a key. There's a card with a key on it.
Yes, the card with a key on it is basically the key is opening a solution, having your wow moment. You get the solution. You have the key. You have the access code.
Right.
You know, the key. There is a couple of cards that are the same, like the sun. The sun would be the same, victory, success, all that kind of stuff, the same as a tarot card. But then there is the tower, and the tower in Lenormand is neutral, is not devastating. The world is not crashing down over your head. Nobody's pulling any rug under you. The tower in Lenormand is very neutral, and it just talks about limitation. It talks about being alone. It talks about boundaries. It talks about corporate, anything that needs, deals with government or institutions and stuff like that. There's also the moon. The moon is also not the same. The moon is a happy moon here, and it's more about love and romance, and you know,
because it is a female aspect of this. I mean really, I like that.
It's not like scary, oh my God,
exactly.
Watch out. You know, it's very, very seductive. And the stars. So this is basically the only cards that are the same. The stars is the same, very close to the tarot. But those are the only cards that are actually the same that you will find in a tarot card, but tarot deck. But that's it.
So one or the other, because, you know, in the tarot, there's a major and there's a minor, right? Forget about the court cards. So in the Lamar cards are equally hold their own.
yes you okay. Cannot say major or minor or anything, because there are like they're just it's like having an orange and asparagus. It's different.
I like asparagus and oranges. That's great. That's
good. Popped in my head.
That's really good. That was good for you. I think, well, from what I understand, and everybody's listening out there, and there's, oh, we have a chat room too. Hello, everybody in the chat room. That your book And I, you know, and Mary Greer just praised it. And apparently, there's so many great reviews. And I did look through it, and I am going to get it. But from what my understanding is, and unless I'm wrong, but I don't think so, you really put things in an easygoing, in a way for people to understand, even somebody that's never read tarot. Is that correct?
Yes, yes, yes. I have people sending me emails telling me that this is so simple, so easy. I've never done any. I don't belong into the world of this whole metaphysical world, and this is so easy. It should be called Lenormand for Dummies or Reading for Dummies. And I don't know. I took it as a compliment.
Yeah, I think so.
It was good, but. It's yes. So basically anybody can pick it up. If you're 10 years old, if you're 100 years old, you will, it's.
And they're not as threatening, are they, as for some, because they don't cross over to, you know, tarot the evil. They're not like it.
I don't see anything as the evil, but yes.
I know, but you know how people do.
Yes, when you're outside and you want to pull a deck of cards, it's like pulling, you know, people look at it, it's like pulling regular pack of cards, you know, playing cards. And they're easy. I mean, they're super easy. You can take a regular pack of cards, actually, and make a Lenormand deck out of it. You really don't need to to buy a deck. And I tell you in the book how to do it, so.
Yeah, so, and I hear, like, it's very, and, you know, we're going to take a break just for a moment from our sponsor, psychicaccess.com, and we'll be right back.
A new era in psychic services has begun. Psychicaccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing, and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com.
Okay, and we're back having a lovely and I say fascinating conversation about oranges and asparagus.
I know.
And no, with Raina George. And I would like to ask you about I've had a lot of guests on that, and I have an older sister who's also a psychologist, that are, a lot of people are using the tarot with some of their clients, which is fantastic. But have you noticed that there, because I know you're traveling all over, because I've had a hard time tracking you down. I know you're a busy woman. And congratulations with the book coming out, by the way. But I'm wondering if, because you said you go to Tarot, you do the TarotCon and speak, right? Is that correct?
At Peter Studio and Bats, right. Francisco Bats.
So have you noticed a lot of professional academia people are now utilizing that with their practice?
Yes, it's amazing. And they're coming, and they're coming to the classes, and they're enjoying it. Yes, definitely. I'm getting a lot of good feedback that they're actually using it in the practice, and they're getting a lot of good feedback also. So yes, I'm loving it. I'm loving it. This is why I'm like, yes, use it, use it.
You know, when did you decide to write this book? Was it something in the making for a long time?
No, I was at Reader Studio one year, and I was sitting with a bunch of friends, and basically they pushed me to write the book, that you need to write the book. And I did a little mini impromptu kind of a mini class to see, you know, and people were clamoring and they loved it so much. And then I wrote the book. A year of writing the book, and it was grueling, but now it makes it all worth it now.
Well, I feel that you, you targeted, like I said, to people that may not have an insight to, you know, if somebody says, oh, I want to learn tarot, and that wasn't me, but anybody else, it's overwhelming. It's, yeah. You know, there's billions, there's so much information, so many different meanings, so many interpretations and that and so on. But like I said, I didn't read your book, but I read all the reviews. I mean, I did a lot of research, and I feel like I know who you are writing this book. But from the thing that I was really attracted to, because I was looking at other people's, you know, on their book or whatever, a little bit confusing in my mind, just from opening up this table, you know, the contents of what was in it, that from what I understand, people are really saying that yours is very clear and concise about what you wrote about, and you do give meaning to each of the cards on, and that, from what I understood, yeah, that's true, correct, on everyone?
But every context.
Right. And you also talk about people that utilize tarot, how to utilize, you know, fuse them together, or bring them together.
Uh-huh.
And it's, to me, from what I, you know, a little bit I did read a little bits and pieces, it's not intimidating. That's what I guess I'm trying to say. It's not intimidating at all. It feels real natural.
I don't see it intimidating, maybe because I grew up with it. But at the same time, you know, I mean, I see my kids using it, and I mean, they're not, I mean, my youngest son lost a book, and he pulled his cards out to see where his book is. You know, my oldest wants to see where is, you know, how is he going to do on his test today? And he pulled the card, and you know, he was very happy that he got the sun, and today he came back and he's like, yes, I aced it. And you know, I mean, it's very simple. I mean, it shouldn't be intimidating. I mean, I don't think
I think Americans just get intimidated.
No, I mean, you have to put a commitment. This is very important. I mean, you have to be committed. Do you want to use that tool? I mean, you see the benefit of, you know, other people talking about it, and do you want to try it? Are you committed to practice? Because it doesn't work without practice. I'll tell you right now, it does not work without practice. You know, you might hit it here or there, but to actually work with it with clients, you really need practice. You need to practice a lot, so you will have a rapport between you and the cards and the deck, and it basically it will be like imprinted. It's the same thing with any tool. It's the same thing with your tarot deck. The more you practice, when you get that card, you know what that card means and in what situation it usually comes. So the same thing will happen with the Lenormand deck. It's you know, practice. And I say, like, practice on TV, practice on shows, practice on anything, you know, elections, games, who's gonna win who's gonna win the football? We did the sex of the royal baby.
Oh, baby.
Yeah. It's all practice, and as long as you come with as you're playing and you're having fun, and it's not like, oh my God, I have to study. No, there's no studying in it. It's just practice and having fun. This is how I approach it. You know,
I like that, having fun with it instead of taking it.
I mean, I think it can be a walk in the park if you let it and if you're enjoying it. If you're not enjoying the process, then no, you know, maybe it's not for you. You know what I mean?
Right. You know, I utilize, you know, actually, again, self-taught in astrology and numerology. So when I've reading my card, when I'm using my cards, I don't do it all the time. It's not like I have a rule of things, but sometimes I might, or see a color that might stand out, and it doesn't mean anything I've read or about it before, but or as a numerology or certain numbers will come up, or astrological connections. So is this the same that you, I'm wondering, do you personally, does that have any connection in us, astrologically speaking, or numerology, or in any of these cards? They come out?
No. No, okay. There's no Kabbalah, no astrology, no numerology.
Okay, then it is
not
completely
the esoteric stuff. It's very simple. It's That's very right. Hi, how are you? Hi, it's like talking to your friends over a cup of coffee about your day, about what your friend's doing, your day about with your mom or your boyfriend or your husband. It's just basically sitting and just literally talking. Or you can say gossiping. I mean, yeah. It is that simple. There's nothing deep. It's not, I mean, you can if you want to like start seeing things into things. But, you know, you can see things into a fork, for example. Oh, the fork is up because it's, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's very, very, very down to earth. It's very, there's nothing, there's no that deep, you know, esoteric,
it's more straightforward, like you said. And so with that said, that's why I feel that it would definitely be a plus.
None of that,
it would be a plus for tarot readings, absolutely, or for people that have been reading tarot.
This is what happened. It would bring them, it will narrow. What happened, it narrows it instead of making it so wide, the road, when you're reading tarot, it really narrows it to the and focuses it on the actual subject.
Right. No, I get what you're saying. It's more predictive. Is that a better way of putting it? It's more predictive. It would be.
It's a predictive tool. Yeah, you can use the tarot as a predictive tool. I mean, it started people using it as predictive.
Yeah.
I mean, I mean, if you read any of the Golden Dawn and all that kind of stuff, and even Etea was using it as predictive. Because people do predict. People come to people for predictive reading. This has been going on since Babylon's time.
but also people won't also if they're not going to listen to me with the way. Well, I approach reading a little bit differently. You know, we have choices, but if people you could take a negative, bring it into a positive. If they want to open up to something, they could direct themselves to where. But also, it probably would help with. Is it like? No questions dumb, okay? But is it like some people are really good at, you know, they want to know time frames, for instance. But you're saying like your son, he does one for the day.
Uh-huh, you can do the time frame. But right now I'm noticing the time is really going wacko for some reason. I'm noticing from my readings, you know, people calling me saying, you said this is not going to happen until 3 weeks and, you know, it just happened now. Or, you know, vice versa. Or something is happening. I mean, time is really, it's like pinning water on a tree. So, but you can't give a rough estimate of time. Also, when I say predictive, not everything, I never, ever take the power from the client.
I
talk about this in my book also. When I was a kid, it was like, for me, it was everything set in stone because I didn't know any better. I didn't know. I would say, well, this is going to happen. This is what I see. Oh, well, you know, During my life and growing up and evolving and doing a lot of experiment, I found, this is going to happen, but you know what? Let's try to change it. I think we can change it. We have the power to change it. And I discovered sometimes, yes, we can change it. And, you know, sometimes we don't, but it does. You do have the power to change something. Mm-hmm. And I find it like when you see something is coming and you're prepared that it's coming, if you can't change it, at least you're prepared. And this is a thing, you know, it doesn't hit you like it's coming, you know, from, you know, out of nowhere. I mean, this is from reading, you know, throughout, you know, my life. This is with people and with a lot of clients. This is the stuff I discovered, how it works and how. So yes, predictive. Yes, I do predict. And, you know, am I sometime wrong? Yes, I do get sometime wrong, but, you know, I am human. I'm not like, you know.
I know.
I'm mostly, you know, my prediction have been very highly accurate. You know, there is here and there, like little snags here and there, but, I guess this is normal with anything.
Right. But I mean, because you were bringing up like with your children, like I loved how you said, you know, your son will say, well, what about today? And well, that's his personal power. He wanted to know about his test, right? So, you know, it's almost like putting out there for the day. And I'm just wondering what your feeling was or what your thoughts are about using it along with the tarot, if it's better, if you can come to a better, closer time frame than most. And I do agree with you about people that, you know, as I tell people, listen, you can go this direction. I say go this other direction. It's more positive. You have a choice. And every negative can be a positive if they choose to listen to it. But on time frames and such, sometimes, you know, I've been a year off or whatever. I don't proclaim to be, you know, a predictive psychic so much in my tarot readings, but I feel that maybe using the both of them,
maybe give you a better timing. Yeah, possibly. Yeah. I mean, make sure I'll be like, okay, well, this looks like in the summer. Let me pull out, you know, my tarot deck, and then, you know, you'll get a let's say the swords. For me, the swords are winter, and I'm like, huh, well, this is winter. So what do I do now? You know, I mean, it's like. I don't know if you'll confuse yourself or, you know, I mean, it's worth a try. I mean, it might help.
I think it's absolutely phenomenal what you're saying. In fact, even more so because it just feels like it's not astrology or fusing it or looking at all these things. It feels like it's just an added sister an added, you know, someone covering you, having your back on something. Or being able to articulate better or something of that nature. And I just, I'm certainly going to, like I said, I really appreciate running. I found you, I wasn't looking, but I always find the right guest and for whatever I'm supposed to do on the topic. I wasn't planning this topic, but I see your book and then I read about you. And then from there it went on, you know, I approached you and you are the best person to approach for this, but this is something that, I mean, it's been so many years and it's really nice to know that I feel there's something I really do want to maybe reach out to and bring into what I've been doing for years. And absolutely, I think anybody's listening out there, I feel, and people that also want to learn tarot, it is kind of difficult. You know, I know I used to teach 20 years ago. I stopped doing that, but I used to teach. And it's difficult to break things down. I mean, depending on who they are, some tarot readers read by the book, learned, or whatever you want to call it. But this way, with these cards, it just feels like you said, you don't have to... It's just, they're authentically just right there in front of you. That's it, you know?
Yes, and but also, I mean, when you start learning, when you start learning, yes, you do have to go by the book and you have to turn off your intuition just during the time of learning. That's it. Soon as you start, you got it down, then you have to, you cannot do a reading without your intuition. You cannot do your reading without your psychic eye, your feeling, your gut feeling and all that kind of stuff, because this is where you will know. And I mean, the same thing with tarot, you know, you just fly with it. You just go with it. It's just that you will have in the back of your head, you will have that learning that these combination of cards means that and can mean that and can mean that. And when you're doing the reading, the right meaning will just pop in your head and you will see like the whole sentence, you know, just, you know, pop in your head like magical, I think.
Right. And like also use your own, and that's the way I read it. I know it's because my own identifying with my own personal experiences, I know that I connect with certain. Well, I just connected my readings that way. It works for me. You know, your book, some books come, I was looking over, some people are putting out decks now with their books. Is that true? Is that true?
Yes, yes.
Okay. But your book does not have a deck of any cards, right? It's just the book, right, which is great. It's just the book. And is there any particular... we only have a couple minutes, and because of that, I want you to, anything that you want to say or tell people about where or what you're up to or anything else, please do so as well. But before that, I wanted to ask you, is there any particular, if someone like me that's been doing, you know, reading with or using a tarot for so many 25 years or something, would there be any particular deck that you would advise me or direct me to?
Yes, I would say start with simple deck that is not very busy and something that you like at the same time, because you have to like it to use it.
Right.
and then just try with something that simple that doesn't have, you know, too many meanings on the card, too many other pictures on the card, too many.
Right.
You know, you don't want to have, for example, the crossroad to have a, how do you say it, a stork on it. Then you know, you'll be like, is that a stork or is it the crossroad? You know what I mean?
I see. So
You need the deck that only has that one symbol.
I guess you'd call it the traditional deck that would just.
There's plenty of decks that are new right now that are using that. They're very simple. They're beautiful. They're amazing. Just pick something you like that is not very busy. Especially also when you do a grand tableau, you don't want something very busy because you want your mind to work quickly. It's like having basically this is how it is. It's like reading a billboard with words that are very clear and like let's say a clear backing, and another billboard that has words, but then that has other words in it and other words and other words, and it's like very very busy that you really don't know what the message is. You know, so that's basically the difference between a busy deck and a more simple deck. But eventually, I would say, like, you know, when you're, you know, firm with your reading, then go ahead and get any deck you like. I mean, you know,
it's absolutely
personal preference.
Right. Well, I really appreciate you joining us this evening and talking about everything you know. And is there anything, you'd like to share with us before I say goodbye?
Well, thank you for having me.
Of course.
I will be at attending San Francisco BATS in August. And I will be presenting.
I live in California myself. So
please come.
I might try to get there.
Yeah, and bring the book. I'll sign it.
That'd be fantastic. Thank you so much. And we have you.
I'll be at Dallas TerraCon presenting. So that's in October 18, I think.
Okay, so August in San Fran. That's my birthday month. Okay, that sounds lovely. Maybe I'll try. I will try to make it up there. Also, I wanted to let everybody know that if anybody wants to get in touch with you, we're at your website. It's R-A-N-A-N.
R-A-N-A-G-O-R-G-E. That's my name, ranageorge.com.
.com.
R-A-N-A-G-O-R-G-E. And you can find my book anywhere. It's already in its second printing. That I'm so excited about that. I mean, in 1 month of it being out, and it was like the bestseller in Barnes & Noble, which is like huge. To have a bestseller in Barnes & Noble. So I was flabbergasted. So I want to say thank you to everybody that's reading the book and getting the book. And I hope you all enjoy it and benefit from it. And go ahead and use Lenormand. Use it.
Thank you so much for joining us. And I hope you have a great evening and bless your heart.
Thank you.
Good night, Raina. Good night. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you very much, Maureen. Before we get to the banter, I would like to make a few announcements. But before I get to the announcements, just want to remind you that you can find out more about Raina George at rainageorge.com, R-A-N as in Nancy, A-G-E-O-R-G-E.com. Now, some announcements. We'd like you to stay tuned for the second hour of the show because we are far from done here. We have a free hour of live on-air readings with our gifted psychics coming up, and we're going to announce that call-in number later. So have your pen and paper handy. If you couldn't catch last week's show, you'll be happy to find out that you can find a recorded archive link as well as archives of all previous shows on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com under the Archives tab. Never miss your favorite psychic radio show ever again. Please spread the archive links and future show details to your friends and family around the internet. It's our goal to connect with as many of you as possible, so please share that link. Facebook, share it. Tweet it. We need your help in letting the world know the goodness and light we have. Be sure to visit psychicbloggers.com to learn about everything related to metaphysics and spiritual matters for free. Everything from reincarnation to soulmate seeking to developing your own psychic abilities is there. Psychicbloggers.com. Spread the word. If you need a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com where you'll find the best verified and accuracy tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to discover more about them. You can choose psychics around. It's an honor working with Doug and the Psychic Access team because of the high expectations required of each psychic. All the co-hosts here on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com work at Psychic Access, and if you'd like a detailed personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit us at PsychicAccess.com. We would love to hear from you. Incidentally, site owners and webmasters can earn 50 cents per minute on every reading for traffic that's referred to PsychicAccess.com. For more details, visit PsychicAccess.com/webmasters. If you like the show, and we hope that you do, invite your friends to join us in our chat room. There's something for everyone, so please spread the word. We very much appreciate it. Maureen?
I'm here. I noticed I was in the chat room saying hello to everybody.
Maureen, are we still here?
Yes.
Is Skype letting me...
Oh, yes, you're still going.
Communicate?
Yes, we all hear you. Carry on. I can hear you. Can you guys hear me?
Okay. You can never tell with Skype sometimes.
Okay.
Well, I think it's banter time. You carry.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Well, I think it's time that we banter, you know?
Yeah, let's all clap. Yeah. Let's all give the clap. Give everybody the clap for banter.
Yay. Anyway,
This is
going to be a great banter, I think, Maureen.
Well, you know, I really tried hard. It was hard for me to follow. She was lovely, and I was trying to stop and ask her and wait to listen. And I think I was coming in every which way. And I don't know if you guys noticed that. And I apologize if everybody's kind of their heads were spinning. Well, someone said a good interview, but still, I was having a hard time. And I found her very fascinating, but I also felt like I didn't know what the heck I was. You know, I don't know. So I'm going to ask you, Stephen, first of all. I'm really interested in moving forward with this, so I'm getting to learn this or bringing it into my tarot readings myself. But what do you think about what you heard or, you know?
Yeah, definitely. This show is going to call for more archive listens to get the full amount of information. You know, we get a lot of information in 1 hour, but my general impression is that the Lenormand deck is a good way to strike at the heart of a matter. And then once you understand what the fundamental issues are in the conflict or whatever is involved in the question, then, you know, with probably a more complicated instrument like the tarot, we can add add finer strokes, like what people are involved, for example. So I'm really liking the Lenormand deck, and I like Miss George also. She obviously knows a lot about esoteric things and metaphysics, and yet she's humble enough to advocate for this deck in a very humble way to invite everybody to participate in it, and I like that a lot.
Well, you know, she came from a whole different type of era. I mean, she came from a whole different type of culture.
Yeah.
Too. Think about that. I mean, when I was listening, did you hear what she said? She brought in some birds to use.
Yeah.
Birds. I mean, that's in Lebanon. I mean, I can't imagine. I've never lived there, and I wasn't. And she was raised, and that's all she ever knew. She didn't know what she was doing and such. So she obviously is an authentic person who probably have written this book for people, because I was doing some research on some of these books, and because it is so trendy right now.
Yes, it is. Now, that Lebanon is such an interesting place because of its religious mixtures that are there. There are a lot of Christians in Lebanon, but the Islam that is in Lebanon is a very strange. It's not at all like the sort of Islam you get in Saudi Arabia. These are the Shiites. They're more like the Iranian Muslims. And in that sense, they are sort of like Christians in that they have a Messiah. So Lebanon has always been a very interesting place from a religious standpoint.
Well, yeah, and also, I mean, bringing chickens to this.
Yeah.
I don't know. Steve. Hello, Steve.
Hello.
Oh, there you are, Steve. So nice to hear your accent voice, your sexy accent voice. So what do you think about, and, you know, because you're from, you know, really, us Americans, I'm not putting this down. The Atlanteans are better, but you know, you knew about, you didn't, when I tried to pronounce it last week, then you dawned on you because, Liz, I'd like to hear you say it because you have that accent and you're from, you know, you're from the UK, Europe and all that. So would you tell us what you say it is in European sound?
Well, in French, it's Le Normand.
Okay, no, I love that, Steve. Just want to hear that sexiness of it all. And so when I asked you about it, you didn't know, of course, when I brought it, you go, well, I don't know. But then you did, because I feel people over where you're from, or in Europe, or, you know, UK, whatever, are, of course, more familiar. They've been more familiar with this until us Americans got, you know, a little bit behind. Do you agree with that?
Well, I've heard of Madame Lenormand because she's just a very famous tarot reader, obviously, and she was renowned for her great accuracy, and she read for very famous people, as your guest said. So I'd read about her. I can't say I've read about her extensively as your guest has, but I would like to. She's certainly a very interesting lady.
Well, you know, what do you think about, after listening more about this tonight, because the first time I've ever spoken about this deck, would this be something, because you read tarot, would this be something you ever want to bring together or, you know, bring into the mix with your tarot readings?
I'd be interested to learn more about it, for sure. I like using tarot. I love astrology, as you know, and I like to work with my intuition, but I find that when I bring them all together, I can get really great detail and a good level of accuracy. So I would certainly like to learn more about it. It sounds like an interesting deck.
Yeah, I'm a little, you know, like I said, I went on YouTube, I went on all the other people's books, and I'm trying to figure out. And I did have a difficult time interviewing her a bit. I didn't mean to interrupt her. I didn't know when the stopping and beginning came from, because like I said, this is funny. It's like a clean slate here for me. Now, I've heard of the angel cards, you know, we've heard of we all have, and the other cards, but this to me is very different, but it's becoming very, very cool to bring into the tarot reading. So I, you know, like I said, when I asked her about the deck, what kind of deck, I guess, you know, what she was explaining to me, how I took it, was maybe most people like to learn tarot on the traditional weight deck, right? It's easiest. From what I didn't learn on that one, I learned on some heart because that's, we can all agree on that, can't we, boys?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, and obviously the Lenormand deck's got 36 cards, so it sounds much simpler. It sounds like a great deck for people to start with, because learning all 78 cards in the standard tarot deck, whether it's Hermetic or Golden Dawn tradition, it's a big undertaking. It's quite daunting for people. And I think that one of the problems for people when they start working with tarot and they start with the full deck of 78 cards, they can misinterpret situations. They may not understand what the spread is telling them. So I think starting with a deck, or working with a deck of 36 cards, is a good idea.
Well, you know, this is what I mean. When I asked her, I said, is there a deck you can refer me to? I don't know if that was stupid, but from what we were speaking about in the beginning, she said, well, what's happening with the you know, the Lenormand deck, is that it's becoming very much like how decks are now, like opposed to the time when I was starting out. There were not that many decks as there are now, 25 years ago. Because, I mean, really, there's cat decks, there's mouse decks. You know how they're all these different decks.
There's even a jelly bean deck.
Is there really? I was just joking about
sacrilege.
Are you kidding me? There's a jelly. They didn't have angel cards so much when I was in the 80s. I mean, this is everything, and I used to go to USA Games to buy, because I, you know, published an audio course, and I marketed it with a deck of cards, but the thing it was, I suddenly, within it, just everything, I didn't know that, I was just joking about mouse decks, but jelly bean. Okay, so what I was asking her, what she said to me, as from what Stephen, you can jump in on this, it was my understanding, she said, well, basically what's happening now is the same thing is going on with this deck. They're becoming, you know, like so many different artists are looked, they're complicated. So when I asked her at the very end, could you refer me to a proper deck, I was hoping she'd tell me a certain deck, you know what I mean? Because it sounds like there are so many out there. She goes, just keep one that's not so busy, you know, keep a simple one. So I equated that to the weight deck for somebody who just never read tarot cards, right? So I guess I'll have to do a little bit more research, because apparently the Lena Maud is becoming more and more like how the tarot was. And she said that. Do you remember her saying that? Stephen, do you remember her?
Yeah, I do actually. And you know what? That's one reason why I asked her about the organization of the deck, because with any deck, what's important to me is the underlying system. For example, you know, even though the Lenormand deck is simpler, it's still going to have an underlying pattern of archetypes that inform it. For example, there's the sun. You know, that is astrological. Whether and the writer or the book, these all have the feel of Mercury. And so once you understand the underlying system, then you can use any deck whatsoever. That's what allowed Madame Lenormand to compress the tarot into the simpler form. And this is what it seems to me, even though Miss George made, she stressed this idea that the Lenormand deck is separate, completely separate from the tarot. And the impression I get is that it's sort of like a compression and a simplification of the tarot. So once you understand the underlying metaphysics of the cards, then you can use regular playing cards. You can use Aquarius deck.
That's right. The Aquarius deck is the deck I learned on.
Right. I remember you mentioning that.
Yeah. Interesting, huh? And, you know, the thing of it, and well, I didn't think I was ever going to be doing this work, but I didn't know any better. I didn't know how to compare it to what I was supposed to. You know what I mean? No one was telling me anything. So it's interesting because about the playing cards, I know I have, from what I gathered my research, a lot of people do use the playing card, the 52 cards. But what I guess I know she was really going about, she wants people to buy her book. I wanted to get more into a couple examples. I wasn't able to do so very well. Sorry, you guys. But I know that, like I said, her book has gotten a lot of good reviews, but she wasn't wanting to give out too many for me. It's okay.
It's in its second printing.
So I know, and it just came out in March. It just came out in March, and that's pretty darn good.
I'm probably going to add it to my library, but I tell you what, Maureen, let me go ahead and announce the call-in number real fast before we get too involved in this fascinating banter.
Lovely. You go for it.
Well, I just wanted to announce that real fast. It's 724.
Okay. All right, well, I'll go on. The number is 724-444-4851. And please note that the phone line will not be open till around 9:15 p.m. Eastern time. So don't even try to call before that because the line won't be open until then. And Stephen will be back in here in a moment. Okay, so we'll be having feedback. So we'll go on to now. Oh, also, I would like to just put out there, when you do call in, you will be placed on hold. But again, you must wait till 9:15, which is actually pretty soon. But we will be brought in order that you come in, and nobody will say hello. You'll be able to listen to the show while you're waiting to be called in. And all we ask, very much so, we'd appreciate it if you would only one question per person because of our time frame on the readings, and be as direct as possible so we can give you the best reading that we can and we'll help you with. Okay, so Stephen is back. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, I am.
And Steve, too.
Oh, sorry. It's okay. I get confused because some people call me Stephen.
I know they do. I was for a long time, and then Stephen comes in, and my mind just explodes. Now that's why I can't. My grammar's so bad, everybody. That's a little inside joke. Okay, I did the call-in stuff and everything else. Listen, it's everybody. I just want to let you know. Just saying, it's like 85 degrees at the beach here, and I'm sorry, I just had to rub it into some. And it's 6:13. Steve, and I did give out the call-in number, and I also indicated that only one question. I did all that already. But I did not put it in the chat room.
Awesome.
Well, I saw you kind of hanging in midair there.
Shall I put it in the chat for you then?
Well, I'm doing it right now because apparently this is better than anybody's grammar. 4851. So, yes. Anyway, people in the chat room are quite interested in this tool, and some of these people are saying, we are 81. We don't know what you're talking about. Anyway, there's some people in here that are very interested in this combining with the tarot. Do you know the woman I had on? Let's see. There's something saying here. Okay, yes. Do I do the calls with you, Stephen?
Stephen?
I believe...
you do.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes. I do believe I have a caller from Virginia.
Hello?
Right? Isn't that the information coming through the transom? That's hello, exactly. Virginia?
Yes.
Hello?
Hello? Can you hear? Stephen, can you hear her?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, hello? I know. Steve, I know. I'm sorry. Hold on. One moment for the caller from Virginia. One moment, please. Stephen, can you hear her? Okay.
Hello?
Okay. I'm sorry.
Yes, I can hear. Hello?
Okay, there we go.
Yes, hello? I'm here now. Hello. Yes, I'm Stephen, and I'm here now. How may I help you?
Yes. Hi, Stephen. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. What's on your mind this evening?
Okay, so I have a question. Let me try to word it real quick for you. Me and my husband were separated, and today we had like a big argument about, you know, about a lot of stuff. So I'm trying to figure out, like, will he go to marriage counseling when our marriage gets better?
Okay. That's a very clear question. Will he go to marriage counseling? One second, okay? Let's see what we got here. It looks like he's not going to go on his own to marriage counseling. You're going to have to really, really work to convince him to go. And, you know, a lot of times with people, they don't feel like anything's wrong with them. They feel like the problem's with you. And so why should I go to counseling? So you might get this sort of a reaction from him. But still, it's very important to try. It's very important to try. I mean, just because he might not want to go doesn't mean you should not try to get him to go. I'm just trying to warn you that it's not going to be an easy thing get him to go, that you're going to have to convince him. You're going to have to kind of be like a lawyer convincing him why he has to go into this. So and that means you might have to throw the fear of God into him and show him what some of the consequences would be for him not paying any attention to you and ignoring you on this. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because I think I've done it all, so I'm trying to figure out, like, the nicest and more, you know, discreet way possible to do that.
Oh, no, ma'am, it's not time for nice anymore. That's dishonest. Nice isn't honest, is it? You don't feel nice, do you? How do you feel on the inside?
Nice.
Do you feel nice about so that's lying right there, being nice about it. You need to tell him right straight up, if you don't get your butt into counseling, then we're going to have problems. And I'm going to leave you if you don't.
Yeah, because we already have them. Probably feel like that. It's just like we need somebody that has to come in who don't know the situation. Because, you know, he brings his family in, and I tell him to keep people out of personal business. We need somebody who don't know me or him to come in and evaluate the situation and give us a new way to do things. Right.
He needs to,
the way we're doing is not working. And
we need
that guidance.
You're going to have to make him aware of the consequences. Okay, for not doing this right. And divorce and all of the nasty consequences that go along with divorce, alimony, etc., that goes along with this stuff. So you need to make him clear, right? You know, make it clear to him what the consequences are for ignoring you.
Right. So he basically is like, when he sees the, see how heavy he's going to be, then he'd be like, oh, okay, you know, I need to get together. So.
Yes, ma'am. He's not going to. I mean, it's kind of, I hate to say it, but it's kind of like the bully in the play yard at school. You know what I'm saying? You can't be nice. And now the only way to get through to him is with the outrageous type of gesture.
The way I'm going now, that's the right way for me to go because, you know, he's on child support and we're going to court. So I need to keep doing what I'm doing now.
Oh, yes, ma'am, because you can tell him, hey, look, and, you know, we can end all of this and have a harmonious relationship if we just get some, you know, like a referee into this match to put some rules and limits and boundaries on this thing. But I need you to cooperate with me here. Do you see what I'm saying?
Right.
So that'll be a good way to try it. I think you'll get some success that way.
So I just need to keep doing, and then he'll see it once everything's weighed out, he'll see how serious it is, then he'll want to make a change.
Right. I mean, point out to him that, hey, you don't want to be paying alimony and child support and all this good stuff, you know, forever. It makes more sense for us to try to work it out and work out our differences. Let's try that first. And then if we can't do it, then let's go to the separation route for sure. But let's get a referee in on this match first, because I know you don't want to be paying out. I mean, think about it. Alimony forever, child support. I mean, think about it. You know, so let's try that approach first.
Right.
He has to be made aware.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, I got it. Thank you so much.
Yes. Yes, ma'am. Thank you, and you have a good one.
I will do the same. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you, Stephen. That was a lovely call. Very good. And Steve, we have a caller for you from New York.
Thank you. Who's calling from New York?
Hello?
Hello, what's your name?
Hi, Anne.
Hello, Anne, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Anne, very well. How can we help you?
I'm always doubting myself in, like, relationship to other people. So there's this God of work, his name is Justin, who I used to complain. And I felt like whenever I complain to people I know, like, it can get annoying. So I stopped doing it. And he used to, like, ask me questions just, like, once in a while or talk to me, whatever. And he doesn't do that anymore. And I'm curious, like, if there's something not quite right with my behavior, if I'm doing something wrong.
So want to be sure I've understood. You said that you used to complain about him.
No, I'm sorry. I used to complain to him about some of the things in the job.
Okay. And he used to talk to you about that, and now he's changed his behavior.
Well, I mean, we used to, like, talk a little bit, or just, like, you know, we're here, we're there. And I also, then I started, like, you know, complaining to him about stuff. And then I realized that complaining is not something people like, so I quit doing that. But now I don't feel like we exchange anything at all. So I just want to, you know, I just want to know what's going on, if like, my behavior isn't quite right.
Okay, well, in terms of your behavior at the moment, Anne, I don't feel that there's a problem. I don't feel that at this stage you're doing anything that's inappropriate, so I don't feel you need to worry about that. I do feel that going back in time, that you obviously were frustrated and you were a bit pessimistic, but down in the dumps about work, and I feel that after time, that started to get him down, because, you know, work is tough a lot of the time, and when we allow it to upset us, or we continue to find it upsetting, and we lose sight of what's good about the work, it really starts to get us down. And he started to feel that way. He's actually a very sensitive guy. You would find, if you knew about his astrology, that he would have a significant amount of water in his chart, and water is emotion. So this is a guy that does feel things quite deeply. And so if he's listening too much to criticism about the workplace, then it really would start to get him. He would feel down. And so I feel that you need to avoid that. The other thing with him is I feel that he's got a lot on his plate, Anne, and, you know, he's juggling a lot at work, and he's got other issues, other challenges. So he's not somebody that wants to listen to more problems. But I feel that the situation is okay. I feel if you appreciate that he's just quite a sensitive guy, and that he wants to get his work done, manage the issues that he's dealing with, and be positive, if you can understand that and be positive towards him, then I don't feel there's a problem.
Okay, so I guess what you said, that he's kind of... he was kind of avoiding me because he doesn't want any more negative stuff. That's how I'm interpreting it.
Yeah, he's sensitive. He really does absorb what's going on in the workplace. He's got a lot on his plate himself. And, you know, he wants to keep his head above water and stay positive and get his work done. So if you were to go back, if you were to revert to this insistence upon what isn't working right for you in the workplace, then he probably would remain distanced. But if you can be positive, and, you know, you can be optimistic about the things that are good there, then I feel sure that you'll see a change in his behavior.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Bye.
Okay, and thank you for that reading. that you gave. That was very nice. And my next caller is, do I have, sorry, I got South Carolina. Hi, South Carolina.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine. May I have your name, please?
It's Ariel.
Ariel, hi, Ariel. And what can I help you with?
Hey, I'm actually calling to find out, so the property that me and my soon-to-be husband are living in right now, it apparently seems as if the landlord is trying to get us to purchase the house immediately. Right. And my question is, would this be a good decision for us together for us to do the purchase, or are we looking to move out of this location somewhere else?
Okay, I want to ask you something. Is Ariel correct? Ariel?
Ariel? Yes.
Okay. Did you say this is with you and two other roommates? Is that what my understanding is correct?
No. My boyfriend of 9 years.
Okay. Got it. Oh, I see. Okay. Your partner. Okay. And when you went into this renting, it wasn't with a lease option to buy at the time. You went in with not that up at the table, right?
We had a first right of refusal at the end of the lease term, but we did not renew the lease, so now we're on a month-to-month. And he keeps on asking me if I want to purchase, and he's looking to sell the house. And
I see.
And I'm wondering if this is a better idea. If it's best, I don't know. I don't even think I qualify right now, to be honest with you, and that it's too soon. We've been there for about a year and a half.
Okay, no, I see. You know what? This is very unusual, and I'm really feeling this is kind of a nice thing, because this is very unusual for an owner to actually, I know you can look at this two ways, but what I'm seeing here is that this is a positive way. Now, I do feel that, this is what I'm getting. It looks like right now between you, around, I don't know, your families, I can hear typing going on in the background. I've got someone. It's not you, Ariel. Okay, but anyway, I see that currently, has there been some situation where money's been stopped from the family, your families, or would you feel that you wouldn't be able to ask any of your family for help? Either of
them. Oh, am I asking my family for help?
If you know, you said you don't know if you could qualify, or I mean, I'm just picking up something and I'm going on with this because, you know, sometimes the idea of, like you said, you don't even know if you qualify, but the owner approached you about selling, but he's giving you first choice instead of having something for sale and then you having to move out if it sells right under you, right? You know, that could be a bummer. But
yeah, he offered to do an owner finance in the beginning, but then he backed out and said that they're working on a different project now, so he's not able to do the owner finance anymore. And I kind of feel like I'm in limbo because I don't know if he's going to force me out or if it's best for us to go ahead and move, you know,
I got it. What I'm getting. Okay, that makes some sense. Okay, well, this is hard because I was seeing it being really positive, but now what you're saying, and it kind of makes sense. What I'm getting is it's like somebody and owner finance. That'd be really creative, and that's so unusual. It'd be so lovely because for a lot of people, they can't get into a home unless the owner's willing to be creative, like he approached you, sounds like, at the time. But then I'm seeing now that it's like being cut off, the generosity type of feeling of doing so. You know, this is what I'm seeing him as. He's being a little flippity, and it's interesting because I feel he's a good guy, but suddenly, have you noticed he's been, even though he says just by taking away that from the table, that offer is kind of, it is kind of a letdown. I do feel that it's a really awful feeling. We don't know where you stand, but I don't see, let me put it this way. I don't feel that you would be able, I don't feel that this would be a good opportunity for you unless he was to offer a creative way of buying it. I feel that would be a very positive at this time. And now he could flip over the other way. It looks like he may do so. Like suddenly it'll go back to where, okay, I can do this for you, or anything you put into it, I could put that into the, you know, lease option to buy type of thing. It'd be fantastic. But I do feel that it's a little bit too much because it's like in some ways I see you and your boyfriend feeling a little bit disconnected, and you're feeling like this is good. Like you just said, you don't know what to think about this. I mean, and I know why, because you just told me he kind of took back what he originally approached you with, right?
Yeah, he did. He did originally. I suggested, you know, what about an owner finance option? He says, okay, that would be no problem. We could do that. And he gave me the interest rate. And then he came back and says, you know what? That's not going to work. We have a new project we're working on. So we want to see if you can get funded within 3 months. 90 days is what he told me. So he referred me to someone that I'm using to basically see if I can get the funding. But then the guy's telling me if the house needs work, then the landlord's going to have to fix it. And I know that he's not going to want to be in a position to fix a house that he's not going to have anymore. So maybe, I don't know, my fiance is telling me we should, you know, it's a good investment maybe. But I'm kind of, I don't know if we should move or, if, I don't know. That's kind of where I am right now.
No, you know, I don't blame you. And I do feel, you know, you're listening to your inner voice right now. And I do feel that you're right on this. And it's, and like I said, I'm sorry this is going on because I do feel that his intentions were at one time good, but he took it back. I do see that. You know, the way I read is this, Ariel, what I don't want you to stop doing is I see you really focused on something really positive and creative right now that you're working on. And if you get sidetracked and, you know, feel like this is, it's like all over the place, like obsessed with this situation in the house suddenly where you wouldn't have been before he brought it into your life or into your space. That would be not so good. And also your relationship, I feel, might be a little bit under stress. And then you start losing hope and faith and you're juggling and you feel like you don't know which way you're going. My feeling is this. Let him put that house up for sale. I don't see it selling right away. In the meantime, I do see you looking somewhere, maybe not so like I see you taking a short vacation to find a short getaway. You might find something just perfect, but I don't see you being pushed out of there as quickly as you think.
Okay.
Okay. All I will listen to your inner voice, definitely. That's okay.
All right, thank you, Maureen.
I hope I helped you. Take care. Bye bye, Ariel.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, I think I have a call, don't I, from Georgia?
Yes.
Oh, very nice. Hello, Georgia.
Hello.
Hi, how are you this evening?
Okay.
Well, how may I help you?
I made some changes in my life, and I want to know whether there's been any changes in my life by the summer or something, by end of summer.
Okay. Let's see here. Is there going to be any change in her life by the end of summer? Actually, there will be change in your life at the end of summer. While you were asking your question, I was thinking, well, certainly there'll be change if you want there to be, but it looks as if there's going to be change whether you want it or not. In fact, the biggest agent of change, the person who's going to bring in this change, is actually going to be a male. And it's going to be the sort of male who everybody likes, a sort of person who usually makes peace in things. Now, I'm not saying whether the change is going to be for the bad or the good. However, I'm inclined to think it's going to be for the good. But it's also going to involve other people. It's not going to be a change that you take initiative for. Rather, it's going to be somebody else taking initiative and coming into your life and causing things to change. And that's the next step. Now, when is it going to happen? Certainly, it's going to happen before the end of the summer. It's going to start happening well in advance of that, probably in a couple of weeks, maybe even a month or so, but it should happen fairly soon. Life isn't going to get any worse or better. In fact, it might even get more challenging because you're going to be challenged to improve on things, to sharpen up some skills, but things are definitely going to be changing very soon for you, okay?
Do I know the guy already? Do I know the guy before me?
No, I don't think you will, because if you knew the guy, things would keep on going. Your life would continue as you expected it to. Everything about I'm expecting this dude to be different, someone you're not expecting. I'm expecting things to be also sort of sudden as well, coming out of nowhere like that. Okay, and it's going to happen within a couple of weeks, maybe a month or so. All right, but it's coming your way. That's for sure. And the change, is it going to be romantic or is it going to be professional? I'm inclined to think it's going to be more along the lines of being professional oriented. It's the beginning of a project for you that I think has scope for your career as opposed to romance. So that's about what I'm getting for you right now, okay?
Okay.
All right. Well, I appreciate it, and I hope you have a good one.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yes, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Stephen. And Steve, caller from South Carolina for you.
Thank you, Maureen. Who's calling from South Carolina? South Carolina, can you hear me?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi there, what's your name?
Victoria.
Hello, Victoria, how are you?
I'm fine, how are you?
I am good, thank you, Victoria. How can we help you?
Yes, I'm not currently in the career that I want to be in the moment, so I'm wanting to know if me moving to another area or another state would make my career options open up to my field.
Let me see. You know, I don't feel that you're in the wrong place. I don't feel that you're in the wrong location, okay? In other words, I don't feel that you should move to a different location or a different state simply because of your career or your intended career direction. So I don't feel that if you did go to another state, it would all just unfold perfectly and be sorted. So the move doesn't seem to be critical. Let's see. I do feel as though there are two options for you, actually. And I feel that these options will reveal themselves to you where you are located now. And I actually feel that you're not too far away from an alternative opportunity. But I feel like you've got to make it happen. And I know that sounds a little corny, but I feel like you've got to be clear what it is you want to create and get out there and really look for that opportunity. I feel if you do that, then two opportunities present themselves to you. Are you clear what it is you want to do?
I think so for the most part.
Okay.
But I think I need to fine-tune it some more.
Okay. Well, you see, this is what I'm seeing, that you need to be very specific. You need to be very clear. And so, again, just going to another location is not going to fix the situation for you. You've got to get that plan clear, get moving, working on that plan optimistically and excitedly, and it will work out for you. It's okay. Not far away. I feel that you can be, I get the month of October actually, and I know it's May and we think, oh gosh, October seems like a long time from now, but it's not really. I do feel that you can be absolutely on your new track in October if you define it very clearly and take action to make it happen.
Okay.
So I'm not saying that you'll stay in the location you're in now forevermore, but I don't feel you need to move in order to make this happen. I believe you can make it happen where you are, and then potentially in future you will move, but you just need to get that plan tightened up
okay.
and take action, okay?
Okay.
And wish you lots of luck.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Thank you, Steve. And I have a caller from Illinois. Hello, Illinois.
Hello.
Hello, and may I ask who I'm speaking to, please?
Naoma.
Naoma? Hi. My name's Maureen. And what can I help you with?
Hi. I feel that I'm in a position right now to begin a new relationship and start on a new life so I can be with someone that's for my highest good and a healthy, successful relationship, a relationship that's not built upon, you know, a lot of things going on, arguments, disagreements, and things like that. I feel that I eased my mind and put myself on the right track and doing all the things to, you know, get someone positive into my life, someone that's going to be for me, someone that's going to be
a healthy relationship. You want it to be on the track towards a healthy with somebody who's already done the work.
Yes.
As I call it.
Mm-hmm.
So what your question
someone
is for me is, are you asking, is there somebody coming up, or is there somebody that I see coming up in that fits that great,
yes,
very healthy description?
Someone that you see coming up for me.
Okay, great.
Like in the future, like within...
Right. And I must say,
weeks or a month.
I appreciate the fact that you're mindful enough to know better, because there's so many people, men and women both, that just don't get it. You want to be with somebody who's already done the work and lessons, and so you can live an authentic life as it should be. You know, this is what I'm getting. I do see somebody. I feel you know of this person, and they. It's like somebody from the past. It comes. He looks like he's very nice on the eyes. Comes flying back in. He's very hard to deal with because he has a hard time making commitment. Is there somebody in your life that you're still dancing this dance with that maybe is not the type of character that you want, that you're asking me about?
Is there someone that I'm with?
Is there somebody that's already that you know of that you have in your mind, you know of, that you've been doing a dance with that hasn't been the most healthy one? Like, you're talking about wanting to meet somebody that is completely stable and grounded and is open to being, you know, and mature enough. He's done all his stuff and he can walk through and thrive in life with a lifelong partner like yourself.
Right.
But is there somebody else that you know? I see somebody that you know of. I see coming. He comes flying back in. So there's somebody I'm seeing that you know of already that is not fit that description. He's fun. He has a lot of energy. That's why I'm bringing this up. And it's somebody that you have anger towards, but he's a lot of fun. He has energy, but he flies in and he flies away. He's a and I see him looking very happy. The reason I'm asking you, maybe this isn't somebody that you know, but I just am asking, is there any residue of somebody in your past or somebody currently that's still around that you've been in a not a good relationship? You know, when it...
No, I don't know of anyone, no.
There's no... Okay, well, then let me say this.
You feel that... Feel somebody that I know already?
That's what I'm getting. But if you say there's nobody at all that you know of that this could reflect, that's okay. It just feels like someone you know. But he's a lot of fun. Okay. This is what I'm seeing in the next couple months, in the summer months. I do see a gentleman. I feel that you know of him, but he looks like he's a lot of fun. He has a lot of energy. But what happens is he doesn't have direction. And it looks like you can get angry with him. That's why I feel that you know of him. But what I do see around late July, August, I see you extremely happy heading towards a relationship that's much more conventional. And that for you, as what you're looking for coming up at this time, is exactly what you want. You don't want any unconventional, untraditional. You want an exclusive, good, healthy relationship where you know where you're standing. But I am picking up on this person that you know of that you've had. It's like a pattern or someone coming back around. And then you break up again. That's what I'm seeing. Although there is another gentleman here who looks older, who by appearances looks older, he also looks like around late July, he's more settled, he's really down to earth, he's more of he's a company man, he's a successful but in a very down to earth way. He's been hurt before, and I feel he would be a very good partner for you. He looks completely different than this one I'm seeing that comes from your past. So in a lot of ways, I feel that, like, I don't, you know, I'm not saying I'm right or wrong about this, but what I am getting, there's some unfinished business with somebody else that keeps coming around who isn't getting it together. But I do see a really great, stable man who's been really hurt before as well. And it looks like late July into August, and he looks fantastic.
There is somebody else. Come around late July. So you're saying there's one that's going to come back, to try to come back?
Yeah, very soon, yes. Yes. But this other one,
yes,
I see really positive.
Very soon.
Yes, I do. So, and you look angry. So I suggest that you keep that, what you asked me, in your mind. Be mindful about what you really, you know what you don't want. Keep that in mind if this other one comes back, because he's a lot of fun and energy, but he doesn't want to, he can't commit. He's not capable of it. And
the one that's coming back, he can't commit.
Exactly. He's not capable of it. He still hasn't gotten it together. That's all. Maybe one day, but you want something healthy. You know, you're right. I do see someone.
Right. I want someone that's healthy, but when does a healthy person come?
I said I do see a man, very positive, late July, August, who looks very down to earth, and he's gone through some pain, but he's lovely. He's a great man, and he's down to earth, and he has it together, and he's a businessman too, but he's more mature. He's a fine man.
I don't know him, right? He'll just come
no,
up.
I feel that you may know of him, but he's a fine man. This is a man that really has already gone through all that crap that you're talking about. You don't need to go through it with him, right? And he's been hurt before. Right. It looks very positive. So I suggest if you get asked to do anything, go out, make your, you know, do what you need. Don't just sit at home, wait for you to knock on your door type of deal. I do feel that you know of him, but he's gone through a divorce or whatever, but looks very, very good. He looks like a good, healthy one that you will find. It may be interestingly, may not be so attracted to him at first, but because he is so healthy, but it looks very good. He looks like he'd be a great lifelong partner. Okay. So okay. I hope I helped right. you. You take care. Thank okay. you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. Okay, Stephen, caller for Wisconsin.
Yes.
Got it? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Hello, Wisconsin. How are you tonight?
Good. How are you? Yeah, hello? Hello?
I think Stephen, I can
yes,
hear you.
Hello?
I can hear you from Wisconsin. Can you hear me okay? Stephen's having some trouble with audio.
Yes.
Okay.
Hello?
Okay. Steve, you want to take it?
Yes, absolutely.
Hello?
No worries. What's your name?
My name's Duena.
Hello, Duena. How can we help you?
Yes, I was wondering if you could tell me about my relationship. Okay. I just wondering if it's like a good relationship for me or not. His name is Rob, and I was wondering if you could tell me if it's a good relationship.
Let's have a look. Well, let me see. I have to say to you, I don't feel as though the two of you are crazily in love. I feel that it's a good relationship. You get on okay, but I feel it's pretty comfortable. But I don't feel that you're madly in love. In other words, even if you hadn't said that you wanted to see if it's a good relationship, the cards show me that you're unsure about this relationship. Now, you have to remember that we can tune into a situation and we can see the outlook based upon the current circumstances. Whenever we look at tarot cards, for example, they show us where a situation is headed unless something changes. And equally, if we were using astrology, we could see the outlook. But the way you managed any situation has a huge bearing or influence over the outcome. Now, honestly, I feel that if the two of you were just to continue as you are, I feel that the relationship wouldn't make it. So I feel that if you want this relationship to work, to be a good relationship for the long term, then I feel like the two of you have got to really explore what it is each of you is looking for and really make a commitment to make this relationship really strong for the long term. And as I said, without that, I feel it wouldn't last. Does that make sense?
Okay. So you say that it's a good relationship. We gotta make sure it's something that we both really want.
Yeah, and I feel you've really got to work. You've really got to understand each other and understand what you want this relationship to be, and really make a commitment to work on this relationship and make it everything it can be. I feel if you just continue as you are, if you just sort of drift along, then it's likely that the relationship would suddenly end at some point. But I don't feel that has to be the outcome. If you address it now and work on this relationship so that you really clearly understand each other, you clearly understand what you want, how you want this relationship to be, and the two of you commit to taking action together to make the relationship everything you want it to be. If you do that, I feel that you'll be okay.
Because I have a question about that, because I was just wondering, because he does have a lot of, like, female friends that he talks to. Do you feel that he's messing with any of them, or if he's actually really committed to me?
Oh, let's see. I don't want to say to you that I feel he's being unfaithful or that he's not committed to you. I'm just saying, I want to reiterate to you, if you continue as you are, the relationship won't last. So I feel like you've got to be really open and honest about what you want and let him say the same. Let him be open and honest about what he's looking for. And really, one of the things you need to say is, you know, I feel uncomfortable that you have so many female friends that I don't necessarily know, or I don't necessarily know what's going on. You've got to be clear with him what you're looking for. And if that's something that bothers you in a relationship, you have to say so. And if that's going to continue to bother you in a relationship, then you have to question whether it's the right relationship, whether he's the right partner for you. Unless he says, oh gosh, I can understand, you know, let me introduce you to some of my friends. I want you to be more involved in things so that you feel comfortable. But if you don't feel comfortable, then it's not the right relationship. Okay?
Yeah, because one thing that I do have, you know, it might be on my part, but like I do feel uncomfortable, but I do tell him exactly how I feel. I always do. And how I feel about his relationships with other females. And I'm open and honest about that.
Yeah, well, you see, I can't take two questions. You're only supposed to take one question. So I've given you my answer, but I want you to listen. Okay. I want you to go back and listen to the archive and listen to what I said. In a nutshell, okay. If you're not comfortable, then it's not the right relationship. And that's what you've got to think about. Okay?
Okay. All right.
And I wish you lots of luck, okay? I feel for you. I've been in that situation. So. You've got to be clear with yourself about what you want and stand up for it. And I wish you luck.
All right. Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Steve. That was a great reading. And you can get a reading over at psychicaccess.com if you're interested with Stephen. Steven, or anybody over there. And Steven, you have a caller from Georgia.
Hello.
Thank you very much. Huh? Hello, Georgia. Are you there? Hi,
yes.
How are you?
Can you hear me? Good. How are you?
Yes, I'm doing fine. How can I help you tonight?
I was just trying to find out. I was trying to get my line of credit reinstated. And I was told that if I do certain things that it would be open. Had some problems, had to go up to senior level management. And they called me today and was saying that they think they can do it per all the troubles. I should know tomorrow, but I was trying to see if you got a gauge on what will happen, what won't happen, because I don't trust them because they said one thing and another thing is happening.
All right, let me make sure I understand because my connection's really blotchy tonight. You said you're applying for, did I hear it correctly, a line of credit, and you want to know what the answer will be on that? Am I understanding correctly?
I'm not applying for one. Mine was closed due to the mortgage issues. I'm actually asking for it to be reinstated. So I don't know if that technicality want to make sure you were clear on that.
Understood. And you want to know if they're going to agree to reinstate that line of credit.
Correct.
Okay. I apologize for that. I had my connection made it difficult to hear. And you know what? It's looking like I don't think they're going to reinstate it tomorrow, but I think ultimately in the long run they will. I think you might have to appeal their decision tomorrow. And the reason I say that is because as I was laying for the cards to answer this question, at first the cards were quite negative, and it looked as if I would have to tell you no. But then I kept laying cards, and the situation turned out to be rather more positive. So this is leading me to speculate, emphasize here, that tomorrow is likely to disappoint you, but it's not going to be the final word on the matter. I think ultimately you will indeed get your line of credit open back up. So I don't want you to be too disappointed if tomorrow doesn't work out for you, but I think before it's all said and done with, you'll have that line of credit reestablished. But I think tomorrow you'll encounter some difficulties.
Now, is it because I'll have to escalate above the person I'm talking to, or I'll have to wait months to have it happen again?
My initial idea was that you'd have to appeal the decision that you're getting tomorrow, which is essentially yes, you'd have to get ask the lady's boss or take it to a higher authority. But it could just be a simple matter of having to wait for that higher authority to rule on the decision. And I think that it's going to cause you some stressful nights. However, the Five of Coins towards the end of this whole process leads me to believe that you're going to get what it is that you're after. The Five of Coins is a very fortunate type of energy, and I think it's going to work out for you. But tomorrow, no, I would be surprised if you got the final answer tomorrow, okay? But in the end, ultimately, I do believe you're going to get what you want. You're going to get your line of credit reestablished, okay?
Do you have a timing on when it'll all be done?
It's the best I can do for you on timeline is weeks. That could be a couple of months, okay? But it's going to be perhaps 4 to 8 weeks, I'm thinking. Maybe even a little bit longer than that, but certainly not beyond, 6 months or something like that. We're talking a matter of weeks and maybe a handful of months here.
Okay.
It's going to take some time, though, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Yes, ma'am, thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you, Stephen. I have a caller from New York. Hello, New York. Hello, New York.
Hey.
Hi, may I ask your name, please?
Sorry?
What's your name, please? Like, your name.
My name is Ishka.
Oh, hi there. You're on... we got you. Hi, so how are you?
I'm okay. I'm a little frustrated. Okay. I've spoken to Stephen before. Uh-huh. And he's given me some great advice, but I don't know what's going on now. It's like it's taking over my life. So I'm in college and I have a boyfriend. I just failed one of my classes. I got an F, my first F ever, and it was because of the shenanigans that was going on, I was told not to reply to anything that was sent, because I got a lot of, messages and stuff. I was told not to reply to the messages, just ignore them, which I did. The more I ignored it, the more they pushed for it. But, yesterday, I got another, I didn't get a message. I saw on a social network that this girl put up a picture of her Skyping with my boyfriend. Now, he says that it's not recent and stuff like that. But I don't know what to believe. Because he lied so much in the past and then told me the truth afterwards. It reached to the point where I had to be calling, psychics to speak to them and ask them, okay, what? Because I didn't, he's telling me one story, she's telling me another story. It's like, I don't know what to believe. I just want to be okay. I want to know my answer because I've lost weight. I wasn't doing well in class.
What I want to know so I can help you best, because I only have a few minutes. What I want to know is, so I can do the best I can. Can you ask me in a direct question as far as what I could help answer?
Okay.
Is he
cheating, and has he cheated in the past year?
Okay, so you want to know if he's been cheating in the past year. Mm-hmm. Or you want to know if he's a cheater altogether,
right,
is what you're saying. Or if he can be tried, because obviously if he's... You don't trust him either way. I mean, so there must be a reason why you don't trust him. So I wanted to focus on that. Right now, you're wanting to know if he has a wandering eye and he's moved on to his not-so-wonderful characteristic ways, because you've experienced some trust problems with him before. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay. So I just want to be able to simplify if that's true. So I can help you at the short period of time. And, I can go on forever myself. Anyway, this is what I'm seeing is this. I am not seeing him fraternizing with any women so much. In fact, and I'm not saying which, people, everybody listen up, Facebook and look at Facebook. There's, you can get it wrong there. I have so many clients that do that. And it's really, I'm going to give you a suggestion or encourage you. I'm not telling you what to do. Kind of stay away from what you might be interpreting on Facebook, because it may not be, things are not what they appear to be. Just saying, just in case. But what I am seeing here is I see him charging towards you. He looks like, if this is him, he looks like he can be very aggressive. A man, and he looks like he has that Okay, then it is him. I see him charging towards you yet again, and he needs to mellow out too sometimes, because he's never held accountable for anything. I don't, like I said, I don't see him doing any bad deeds, but I can understand why you don't trust him also. I see that. But right at this time, and I do feel that, you know, he comes back into the picture. You guys continue on. Yet again, I see you very unhappy within the next month. Like, you're sad, you're unhappy, and you're searching for, you know, it's like you don't want to carry a burden. You're carrying the burden in this relationship. I just feel that you can do better. I'm not saying he's a bad guy, but you can do better. And
wow.
I know I'm not, but I do see a hard-earned victory around January for you in a relationship department. Now, maybe it's him getting his act together. However, there is a hard-earned victory around January, which is very hard-earned, but positive.
So you think he's going to be okay, or I'm going to be with somebody else?
I know. I'm not saying that. I don't know. I'm not clear. I'm not seeing it, but oh. I'm just saying in the relationship. However, if you want to really work it out with him, you need to detach. Really, I'm not saying to play games with it either. You need to, it's isolating, it's aloneness, it's very disturbing, but you need to release all the burden, because you're carrying the load on your back, and he's never held accountable for anything, and he pretty much is allowed to do whatever he wants without any whatever, because you allow him to. He's used to it, and I see you unhappy. So the thing is, if you can really take the strength that you have, and it would be a little isolating, but believe in yourself. Either way, I see a positive situation in a relationship. Again, I'm not sure if it's with him, or there is maybe a new, I don't see a new person so much, but there is a hard-earned victory that you will be happy, or you'll be on your way to the direction you want to be with somebody. Okay?
Okay. All right, so just to make sure, in the past year you haven't done anything?
Thank you. No, I don't see that. No, I don't. I absolutely don't. No. But I can see why you don't trust him. No, I get that. I can see why. But no, not. I don't see him presently doing anything of that nature.
All right, thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. You take care. Bye bye.
All right.
Okay, Stephen, Florida, for you.
Hello.
Yes. Steven. Thank you very much. Hello, Florida. How may I help you?
My name is Lisa. I'm going out with a guy named Dan, and I wanted to know how you felt, like what kind of feelings he has for me, and if we're gonna, you know, be together.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, let's see, first of all, what this gentleman thinks about you, and also what he desires from you, okay? And we'll go from there.
Okay.
Let's see what we have here.
I tried to be very efficient in my questions.
Yes, you did, and I really do appreciate that. It's going to help you to get a better answer, too. His thoughts are represented by the Ace of Cups. Now, usually this would be a good thing. What it means to me is, the ace is a low number, so that represents a desire or an awareness of starting over. Like, it's a low-level energy. It's the number one. So I would expect things to be going, you know, that there might be some difficulties with you guys, because he's feeling in his thoughts, he's very aware of the need to begin. And the cups have to do with emotions. In fact, this card's associated with the moon and changeability. So it could be that he's aware of, you know, something that's changing emotions that he could be aware of, either in himself or in you. This is what he's thinking about. Now, in terms of what he's desiring, this is the Four of Coins. Now, the Four represents making something happen. And the Coins, that represents either money or conversation. And here, conversation makes more sense. I don't see him wanting to make a loan happen, but I mean, maybe he will. Maybe he'll want to borrow $5. I don't know. But I'm judging the Four of Coins as representing a manifestation of a conversation. So he's going to want to be talked. He wants to talk to you right now, whether he is doing that or not. A lot of guys, even though they want to talk, they'll hold back on that urge just because they feel it makes him more vulnerable to reach out first. As far as what he'll actually do based upon all of this, based upon his thoughts of changing emotions, his thoughts that maybe, you know, there needs to be an affectionate communication somehow, his desires for that communication, all of this is going to result in the Five of Cups reversed. Now, this is usually a very fortunate type of energy, and it's reversed, meaning it'll just be starting. So my judgment on this is that even now he's thinking good thoughts. He wants there to be contact. So in that regard, there probably will be at some point, and I would expect things to improve based upon the Five of Cups. Okay?
Yeah, we had a fight. Well, what happened is I went to his gig, and he paid attention to another woman all night, and I was very angry, and I laughed, and I unfriended him on Facebook.
Yeah, he wants to talk about it. But you got to realize he's got his pride to deal with too. So it might take him a little time, but this is going to be a spat you two get over.
Well, it's been 5 weeks, and I'm still getting over it because we're not officially together. We're not intimate, but I feel like we're close, and I felt like we were going to be a couple. But he keeps telling me that we're not a couple, but he doesn't want anything serious. Like, so do you feel like that is what he really means, or is he just saying that?
Okay. Well, his desires for this relationship then are probably more geared toward the carnal end of things. And that's going to change things forever because it's going to make you more of a toy than a significant person in a relationship with him. So in that case, yeah, you're definitely going to hear from him the next time he wants you. And I'm not even saying that you guys are engaging in carnal behavior or anything. I'm just saying that he wants that possibility, and he's going to be inclined to keep you on standby, as it were. But as for whether or not you'll hear from him again, you know, for sure, you will at some point hear from him.
Oh, I know. I'll hear from him, but do you think that he'll ever want something, you know, meaningful with me at any point? Or do you think he's going to string me along in this crappy situation?
No, ma'am. I wish I could say that he would, but I'm afraid not. There's going to be no stability in a relationship with him, okay? None whatsoever. It'll be a cyclical type of up-down relationship from start to finish.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really sorry about that, but the best thing for you to do is to go ahead and heal and put him out of your life in a serious way, okay? The best thing to do.
Yeah, that's what I'm working on now, but do you know why he's behaving like this? Like, why he doesn't want to be with me in a, more serious way?
Yeah, his feelings, he thinks that just because his affection for you is gone sometimes, you know, he thinks that the unstable emotions and affection means that he can't love you permanently. But what he doesn't realize is that emotions always change in a relationship. You see what I mean? So he doesn't trust his affection for you to stay constant over the rest of his life. You know, that's why. That's why he feels bad, probably feels guilty that he's not capable of giving you a 100% emotional relationship like you deserve, and so that's why he's not going to be able to.
But he seems to be very lonely to me. Like, he really does want something with someone, maybe just not me, or I don't know. Like, he seems lonely.
Yeah, well, he could be. I mean, we're often lonely even when we have people right beside us. You know, there's such a thing as being lonely even when you have, when you're married, you know. So, but, you know, he's a sensitive guy. I'm sure he would, you know, like to, it's going to be hard for him to find anyone to satisfy him. But as far as you yourself, his emotions are too unstable to be constant over the long term. You know, maybe another 2 or 3 weeks from now, he'll call you back and be like, I really made a mistake, I'm sorry, and that everything will be fine. But then, you know, 6 months later, you'll be back in the same boat, okay? You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, exactly.
It's a really difficult situation. So if I were you, I would just walk away from the whole thing.
It's so sad because I'm awesome. He's going to lose an awesome woman.
All right, well, I'm a...
Thank you. Hello?
Sorry, thank you, Carl. I think Steve's having some problems. Thank you so much, and take care of yourself. Bless your heart.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Steve, you have a caller from Massachusetts.
Thank you. Who's calling from Massachusetts?
Hi, Steve. This is Richa here again. How have you
Hello.
Been?
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I just needed some advice for my father. He got laid off from his temporary job very recently, actually earlier this week. And I just wanted to know, when will he be able to find his new job, and what should he do to get there? And will he be able to, like, would it be good for him?
Let's see. You know, your dad's going to be fine. I can see the upset in the cards. I can see, obviously, that he's disappointed that he lost that role. But he's still got a lot going for him. He's got a lot to be grateful for. And I can see that you're actually a great source of strength and support to him in life generally. I don't feel that role was working particularly well for him anyway. In other words, I don't feel that it's a role that I would have advised him to stay in. So I don't feel this is the end of the world. He has got a lot to offer. He's a strong character, and he's a man that has a lot of experience and that knows what he's doing. People respect him, and there will be an offer of employment. And I feel that that offer comes in July. So I feel that he's going to be okay. And I actually feel that the situation works out better for him. I feel that in July, August, he'll look back and say, you know, I'm quite glad that happened because this opportunity I have now is better than the one I had before. And that's what I see for him.
So this opportunity, he will be able to pay his bills between now and July?
I feel that he may need a little help. But as I said, he's a strong, capable man. And I feel that he'll get through okay with a little bit of help until July. Okay?
And this job in July, will it be better? Like, will he be able to start the job in July? Or it is like, when will he hear about the job? Is it in July or... It's little sooner, but in July he'll be able to start.
Yeah, I feel it's July that he starts.
So he will start. Okay, so when is he going to hear about the role?
I feel it's June, but I feel it's later in June. But I do feel comfortable that he would start in July.
And how will he get this opportunity? Like, is there any clue for him where to look?
He's got to. I don't want him to just sit back and feel that the opportunity is going to find him. He needs to be determined, and he needs to get out there and look. So advise him to do that, and if he does, he'll be fine. Okay.
Okay, but he is definitely going to get the...
Well, there's never a definite. As I said, he needs to do his part. But I feel if he does, then he can have an opportunity and start in July. And I wish you lots of luck. I wish him lots of luck as well. Take care.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, Maureen, are
thank you.
Still...
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Wait a minute.
Wait. Okay, so you're going to tell everybody about the show next week, Avery? Oh no.
Yes.
Yes.
I absolutely will. Well, I know that we have our show every week, Maureen. I love it. I really look forward to our Thursday evenings, and I really enjoyed the show this evening as well. Next week, we're going to be focusing on mediumship. We've got a wonderful guest, a lady called Donna Smith von Kreef, and she has many years' experience conducting research and validating her research. And she turned her attention to research in the field of mediumship, Maureen. So she'll be sharing with us her experiences researching and validating mediumship and the continued existence of the human soul.
That sounds fascinating.
It will
very
be
fascinating. And I feel we're all gonna. I welcome every. I mean, we all welcome her. I'm sure I can say that. Well, this has been a wonderful evening with everybody. It's been a really warm one for me. Happy Mother's Day last weekend to all the mothers and the fathers who are playing mother duty. And I say goodnight to everyone.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.